The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas today because today is a huge day for Arizona State and actually the U of A. You're going to need to take a nap today. It's the way that it's got to be because the ASU basketball game at UCLA is not until 9 o'clock tonight. Now, I'm not old. I just celebrated another birthday, but I'm not old. But a 9 o'clock tip means 11:30 tonight, 11:20 tonight. Game will be decided, unless it's a blowout. And it's ASU-UCLA. They put it on the almighty Pac-12 network tonight, which means Eric's not going to watch. Are you going to go anywhere to see this? This is the story, Eric. This is the game of the year so far.
This is the time of the show where you make fun of me because I am actually going to go somewhere to watch this game with a friend.
That is awesome.
I'm not sure where we
amazing.
Are going to go. We might check out a little high school basketball tonight, and then because
Is it finals tonight?
Semifinals. Because the game starts at 3 a.m. Arizona time, we'll be able to sit down and grab some breakfast and watch it. So,
no, I'm not making fun of you. It's merely you don't have the Pac-12 network.
Well, I feel like I'm sort of selling out because I refuse to watch the conference network or spend money to leave my house and go somewhere to see.
You know, it's a write off.
Network.
You know, it's a write off.
Not anymore.
What are you talking about?
Well, our president, he rearranged the whole tax bracket thing, so...
You know that...
I don't have nearly enough write-off money now to make a difference or impact my taxes at all, so...
You know, it's a write-off. You could find a way.
Again, it's a write-off, but I don't get to $32,000 in write-offs to make a difference,
you
so...
You can find a way.
I need to see I need to see your tax guy.
So, you're not going to... So, you're going to watch this tonight.
I am.
And I feel as though... ASU's going to lose tonight.
I haven't seen UCLA play all year, so I have no feel on this game.
I've seen UCLA play a couple times, and they're playing better. I think ASU has been very fortunate down the stretch.
They have been.
I think that it's been a possession here, a possession there. If Bobby Hurley is able to take his team to Los Angeles and is able to find a way to win tonight at UCLA, it would go down as the best win since Kansas. In my opinion, because I don't care if UCLA is not ranked, it's still a brand name in the backyard of a city that Bobby is trying his darndest to go get as many guys as possible.
Like her.
At a time. Yeah, right. Might as well take Antonio with him for
that's it.
For basketball. But, you know, he tries to get guys out of L.A. He's getting Little Bagley. Little Bagley is coming here next year. In spite of what the hype squad at ASU is trying to tell me, he's not Big Brother, and that's fine. He's good. He's not Big Brother. So for Bobby tonight, and look, who was it? Lenardi rated ASU right now as an eighth seed. Has him as an eighth seed. So they'd be in the 8-9 game. He has them playing in the same bracket as San Diego State as the number one seed, even though the Aztecs lost. Still has them as a number one seed.
It's interesting. ASU is leading the Pac-12, and they're projected as an eight seed.
5-6 against teams in the NCAA tournament field of Lenardi right now. 5 wins, 6 losses. Now, so while they've had a nice run, I'm not going to sit here today and say, well, this is the way that it's going to be. They're going to go on to the victory. I'll talk more about this with Jimmy Vaccaro.
Nor should you.
No,
I won't. Should you.
So Jimmy Vaccaro is going to be with us. And then Brett Hundley is going to Skype in. So the Cardinal quarterback, we like just checking in with Brett from time to time. And he is going to join us from Budapest, Hungary via Skype. He is in Budapest while this neurovirus is going around. He is in Budapest while he's a free agent quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. He is in Budapest spreading the word of American football. So I'm going to tie all those together with him. He's going to Skype on in from Budapest, Hungary. He texted me earlier. He's at Parliament. So it'll be a nice shot. That is coming up here at 10:35. Opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. If you've not checked into your life insurance. Yesterday morning, I spent 2 hours with a guy. 2 hours. And I sat and visited with him on a number of subjects, getting caught up with his family, someone I've known a long time. And he said, you know, I've got some things that are changing in my world. I'd like to talk to you about my life insurance and some other things that are going on too. I have my license, so I'm able to just sit there and say, all right, let's walk through this step by step. Where are you at? I mean, seriously, where are you at when it comes to your life insurance? Where are you at when it comes to retirement, if that's something that you want to do? Not everybody wants to retire. A lot of people do, but not everybody, and that's fine. Log on, get your free quote at Sagicore Now. That's at Sagicore Now. We appreciate Sagicore and their support of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. All right, Jimmy Vaccaro here in a few minutes. I don't know how many... The best story of the day is that the Astros have been plunked 7 times already in 4 preseason games. That's the best. But that's not a whole subject to go into for all time. But that's the story that just makes me laugh the most. Like when Jimmy comes on here in a few minutes, it's going to be, what is the over-under for Houston Astro players getting plunked 7 times already? And we're not even through the first week. That's great. That's awesome. Tim Tebow is going to play for the Filipino baseball team in Tucson. He's going to do an exhibition. Tim Tebow is going to be in Tucson. And it's like the biggest thing in Tucson outside of U of A winning a national title in basketball, which, oh, wait, it's been a long time. But it's a big deal that Tim Tebow is going to be in Tucson. I like that story. I sat through the Suns last night, and we're at that point in the season where teams are basically toying with the Suns. Like, load management for Kawhi, I thought was going to be the order of the night last night. He ended up playing, he ended up scoring 24. Marcus Morris, who is the most hated, one of the most hated Phoenix Suns ever, had 18 last night for the Clippers. And the final score was a 10-point difference, 102-92, but it wasn't that close. This was one of those games where it felt like the Clippers, even in the first quarter when the Suns had a lead, like that's how it works with the Suns, for the most part. Are they better this year in terms of numbers of victories? Sure. Do they have an all-star? Well, yeah, he was a late replacement, but Devin Booker went to the all-star game. I'm not going to take anything away from him on that. Has DeAndre Ayton been better? He was a minus 12 last night, but he had, what, 25 and 17. He still was a minus 12 on the night. Devin Booker was 5 of 19. He was 5 of 19 because Patrick Beverley is on the other side of the court. Patrick Beverley is as good a defender, an all-ball defender, as you're going to find in the NBA. So Devin just ran into a buzzsaw defensively last night. And this really, as I said, it was not much of a game.
Are we feeling better about DeAndre Ayton? I mean, if you look at his numbers, and I know they're a bit skewed because he missed the first 2 months of the season.
Right.
But he's averaging 19 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists.
He should.
He's shooting 78% from the line and 55% from the field.
He should.
I agree.
But is it a quiet?
It's very quiet.
Is it just layups for a big man? Or look at the number of shots. Now you said 55%. But look at the number of shots that he is taking, and are they high percentage shots on the inside? Yeah, a lot of times you lob the ball into DeAndre, he lays it up and in. Okay.
Well, that's good. That's what he should do. Those are what NBA coaches want. They want dunks and layups. So
that's what a big man should do.
Uh-huh.
Now, you have a player in Devin Booker who took 19 shots last night. Devin Booker's got to get his shots.
He does.
Right? Kelly Oubre didn't play last night, but Kelly Oubre's got to get his shots. He likes to shoot.
He does.
He really likes to shoot. Ricky Rubio last night got his shots, and he was not good at all shooting last night. You know,
Which is interesting because he was so good against the Jazz.
He was so good against the Jazz. But if you go through a roster, Eric, and you just look at teams on how they're constructed, I'll give you an example. Our friend Eddie Johnson, I was listening to him yesterday, over on NBA Radio on Sirius. It's must listen with him and Justin Termini. It's really good stuff. He was talking about the Clippers and how it's going to be really hard for them to get in rhythm in postseason. A guy like Marcus Morris had 18 points last night, but Marcus Morris's minutes are going to dwindle down to about 10, 11, 12 minutes in postseason because you know who's going to play. The Suns last night, Ricky Rubio took 11 shots. Devin Booker took 19. So there's 30 shots from your two guards.
Yep.
Carter took 4, so now you're at 34. Kobo took 3, so you're at 37 shots just in your backcourt. Up front, Ayton was 11 of 22. Off the bench, Baines was 2 of 6. So your two big men were 13 of 28, almost 50%, which you would like to have. But they ended up shooting just 39% from the floor. So what happened? Well, Devin Booker had to get his 20 shots.
And 5 of 19 will kill the team percentage pretty quickly.
Sure. So. Now, on the other side of the coin, Devin Booker had 10 assists last night. Devin Booker was a plus 2. He had 14 points. He had 10 assists. He also had 4 turnovers, and he didn't have a steal. Bridges had 4 steals last night. Rubio had 3 steals. Okay. So if you go through just through a stat box and take a snapshot of the stat box, you look at it and you say, okay, DeAndre Ayton is getting a double-double. It's a pretty quiet double-double. Now, what is he doing on the defensive end of the floor? And not just one night, but every night. Last night, for instance, the Suns out-rebounded the Clippers, and DeAndre had 7 offensive rebounds last night. I'll take 7 offensive rebounds out of DeAndre Ayton every single night. The issue here is, in 36 minutes, he gets 22 shots. He has his 25, and he has his double digits in boards. What's it going to be like if it's a 7-game series? And the Suns aren't going to make the playoffs, in my humble opinion. They're 4.5 or 5 back, okay, with I think it's 17, 18 games to go. And they've made progress this year. Can they get to 30 victories this season? The 30 victories, even now, they've won more games than they did all of last season, and Ayton missed a good chunk of the early part of the season. You have to have some positive momentum going in. As I've said, though, I fully expect this to be the Devin Booker, I don't want to be in Phoenix anymore summer. I fully expect that to happen. That's just how everything is trending on this deal. When I see the game end last night, and I see Patrick Beverley go over and give Devin Booker a big hug and whisper in his ear, I'm thinking every time that players pull him over and whisper in his ear, it's something like, hey, come to L.A. and play for me. I want you on my team. I don't think it's, hey, keep your head up. You're getting your heads kicked in Phoenix. It doesn't matter if it's Golden State. Doesn't matter if it's the Lakers. Doesn't matter if it's the Knicks. Doesn't matter if it's the Celtics. It's these marquee teams where they look at a player who's on a bottom feeder, which Phoenix is right now, a bottom feeder. And they shouldn't be, but they are. And we can talk all day long about how they're building and they're getting better and they're so close. And guess what? I've been hearing that nonsense since May 29, 2010, the last day the Suns had a playoff game. Go look it up. Jimmy Vaccaro's next. There's a lot to get to with Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. We are very pleased to announce we'll be doing shows from the South Point for March Madness and the NFL Draft. Big stuff there. Jimmy said, get on over here. And so we said, let's take the show there. We'll do the TV show there as well. It'll be fun. I appreciate you coming on, my friend. The view in Vegas of tonight, let's just start with tonight in college basketball. We have not had, Jimmy, an Arizona State basketball team win 7 games in the conference in a row since 1980 when I had hair. And I can't believe that they're doing this. And tonight they play at UCLA. And when UCLA is good for college basketball, it's got to be great for business. So break this down. It's a 9 o'clock tip Arizona time tonight. ASU at UCLA.
Let's just tell you, my friend, that like the whole uncertainty of college basketball this year has been good for the bookmakers because nobody knows who the hell is going to win any game anymore. And tonight, what do you want if you're a college basketball fan? Make no mistake about it. UCLA, a small 3.5-point favorite, totals 141. And Arizona is only a 5-point favorite over USC, total 138. What it shows you, Brad, is like simply that what you'll get from here on out, which isn't a long time, that the home teams will be a small favorite, showing you once again that anybody is good enough to win anytime, anywhere. And now with your Pac-12 tournament coming up here, I can't wait to see what happens there, my friend. So that's what it is. It's the love of the sport, and plus who knows what the hell is going to happen, and you got to love it from my side of the counter.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us from Vegas, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. I want to focus on the NFL for a couple of minutes. Fact or fiction, Tom Brady and Las Vegas Raiders, is it going to happen, Jimmy? What is the buzz in Vegas?
The buzz in Vegas is pretty damn positive. I mean, it's growing more and more every day because it seems like with all these press conferences and these little innuendos that Tom's sending out there, he's not going back to Robert Kraft and Company. I would make it second or third chance. I think Tennessee would be a good shot, but trust me, with all the hoopla, with everything that's going on with the Davis family now to make this thing a huge success, you know what, my friend? More and more, I think he's coming here. I really do.
We're going to be there for Pac-12 tournament, as I mentioned earlier. The Raiders stadium is near you at South Point. What's that stadium look like to you? I hear it's a spaceship-looking deal. Tell me about all that, Jimmy, and what it means for Vegas.
Well, it means another just super, super, you know, event is coming to town. And when you drive by, or I drive by every 3 or 4 days, and it seems like it's going up a lot quicker. The cranes are there, everything that Mark Davis talked about, the local stations covering it. It's really, really starting to take shape. Now, the only thing is it's real close to I-15, which is just a stone's throw away there. So it's going to be interesting, but it's a marvelous-looking stadium. Make no mistake about that, my friend.
Okay, the NFL draft is there in April. We'll be there for that. What is the NFL draft build-up buzz been for Vegas? Are rooms gone, or are people coming? What do you know about the draft?
Everybody's coming. Give me a room if I got to stay in that little boat in front of the Bellagio, you know, on the cruise ship across to the island there. Everybody wants a piece of the NFL draft, my friend. So what can I say? Vegas is the place to be in the next year, that's for sure.
See you soon. Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, buddy.
Jimmy Vaccaro there from Vegas. Brett Hundley in a few minutes. Eric and I are going to go to Vegas. I think we're going to go separate, though, this year. I think he wears me out. He takes me to Joyful House, and we have great Chinese. He drags me over to GCU for their tournament, and we have to go across the strip to that. We're just on the run too much, so I'm just thinking I'm going to go solo this year. But I do think, fortunately, we're not going to need to be there on Wednesday. We usually go to Vegas on Wednesdays because ASU is always playing in like this just dreadful pigtail game, the end of the bracket in front of like family and friends and janitors, maybe. And this year, unless they completely fall apart and lose their final four games, they're going to play Thursday. And I would hope they would play like Thursday night, play like in prime time on Thursday night, and then maybe be there right through Saturday. So very much looking forward. We're going to be in Vegas a lot here the next couple of months. As mentioned, the Tom Brady story, then we'll step aside for Brett Hundley, who's going to be joining us from Budapest, Hungary. So the Tom Brady story as of today is the Patriots have not yet reached out to him. In the next 2 weeks, the amount of quarterback news leading up to the start of free agency on March 18th will be amazing. As mentioned from Jimmy, if it's Tannehill and Mariota and Tennessee's situation, if it's the Chargers and what they're going to do in L.A. with their new stadium opening up, if it's Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers, if it is the Chicago Bears and finding somebody to push Mitch Trubisky, if I'm to believe any of the rumors that the Matt Patricia side in Detroit is denying that Matt Stafford was ever put out there as a trade rumor, I'm not believing the coach. Whenever you have coaches that come out so forcefully and say, this isn't happening, and then you have the restricted free agent side, Dak Prescott. If Dak Prescott, if he decides, if they don't franchise tag him, Cam Newton, Ryan Tannehill. So there's going to be a ton of NFL news. I mean, a ton of it around quarterbacks, and Brady's going to be front and center. And, you know, I've sat here and said San Diego or Los Angeles is where Tom Brady's going to end up. I think Peter King, he's with us. He thought L.A. was a destination for him, but still feels as though Peter's belief is he will resign in New England. We'll probably have Peter here in the next week or two after the combine just to get his view on what's going on with him. All right, Brett Hundley is next from Budapest. Stay with us. Now, from time to time here in the offseason, we like to check in with what the Cardinals are doing. In particular, one player who is overseas even as we speak, and that is Brett Hundley. Brett is on his world tour, the former Chandler High quarterback, UCLA Bruin, Arizona Cardinal. He joins us from Budapest, Hungary, via Skype. What are you doing in Budapest?
I'm actually here right now with a group of guys for football camp called AFWB, and we actually every year travel to a different place around the world. Last year we were in Germany and Austria. This year we're in Hungary, Budapest. As you guys can see behind me is Parliament. My face is probably a little dark, but we get to coach football and coach football not only to kids but even older people. So we got men, women. We have 800 kids this camp and grown folks coming out on Saturday and Sunday this week to get coached about football. But there's a lot of football in a lot of the world that doesn't be able to that doesn't get to see NFL players. So we have a group of guys who go out and coach some football.
You have Todd Gurley there with you, too, you said?
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys. We got Todd Gurley, D'Angelo Williams, Jordan Cameron, Mike Davis. We have a Austin Hooper. We have a plethora of guys. It's a really good group of us. We get to go come out here for a week and spend some time coaching. But in the meantime, sort of like what we're doing now, walking around, checking out the sites, and just seeing everything each country has to offer.
Oh, that's a great shot right there. Don't even move. I just want to take that in. Jeez, oh,
there you guys
man.
Go. There you
Jeez,
go. It's oh, beautiful
man.
Out here.
Budapest, Hungary, with the time difference, it's evening time there. So this football camp, do you have any of your guys there with you that can tell us what they do?
Yeah, actually, Jordan Cameron, Hey, Jordan, you want to talk about AFWB?
It's Brett Hundley with us. Skyping in from Budapest, Hungary, tracking down. Who do you have there with you?
What was the question, Brett?
Tell us about the camp. Who do you have there with you and tell us about the camp?
Just
say hi to say hi to Brad. Yeah, it's fine.
Brad, how you doing?
Good.
Who? I'm gonna answer your question. So your question was, how is camp? How we doing here? Let me hear it again.
Yeah, what are you guys doing there? Introduce yourself to the audience, and what is it you guys are doing at this camp in Budapest?
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Cameron. We just got to Budapest yesterday. Today we visited the American school. It's just about spreading awareness of the American football. They don't call it that out here. They call it football. We got to get that right. We get made fun of for that. But it's just about experiencing the culture, getting our name out there and spreading awareness and teaching these kids how to do it the right way.
All right. What do they know about American football? Are you starting at like ground zero where they know nothing, or do they have a little bit of an understanding there in Hungary?
I would say ground zero is about as close as you get. I mean, they know it because of the NFL, but the actual play, we talk about it a lot. Like, you got to teach violence in a way and toughness. And those things, kids, it's hard for them to grasp it. You know, we've been doing it for a while, but it's fun to get their mind going in this direction. But it's hard. It's hard to teach something like toughness and violence and all these things. But it's fun to get them going out here. And some of the kids, like you said, ground zero, but they have a good time.
As quarterbacks, we teach a little different. we teach don't get hit and
run.
Move.
Away.
Yeah,
and run
away.
Run away. Brett, do they know what a quarterback does, or do you have to start like this is a football? Is it that basic? Is it that granular?
For the most part, a good amount sort of knows enough. But it's really the fundamentals that is the big part. You know, out here, they don't really have too many coaches who really have played the sport, played it at a very high level. So for us, this is the first time that they're really getting some very detailed fundamentals. You know, you can watch football and sort of understand the gist of it and play it. And just like a lot of kids, they sort of get the gist of it. But then when we come here, we get the opportunity to show them and really teach them from, you know, guys who have been playing the sport for and doing it at a high level.
Right, let me ask you a couple questions here, unrelated to your trip. And well, I guess one is related. Neurovirus. You worried about it? You guys seen anything? It's around the world now, Brett. I'm worried about you there in Hungary.
I know. I said that virus is going to have to catch me if it does. But I actually had to cancel my trip to South Korea, where I was supposed to be before this. And, you know, honestly, it's not something that's good. So, you know, we're just hoping for the best out here. Out here, I mean, we're all good, but hopefully it stays that way.
Are you keeping tabs on it at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had one trip canceled, and hopefully I don't have any more. But at the same time, you know, it's spreading really rapidly. When I was taking my trip to South Korea, it was like the day of. I mean, it almost tripled. When I was supposed to head out there, so I canceled it, and I did go. Okay.
All right, fans are asking about you coming back to the Cardinals. Is there anything you can say about that? The open period for free agency is a few weeks away. Do you have any indication that you're going to be back? Are you going to listen to offers? What's going on with you?
I'm hoping for the best. You know, I love being back home. Arizona, again, is born and raised, but at the same time, you know, it is a business, and that's the way the NFL works. And that's how it always has been. So my agent will, you know, is talking to, hopefully, you know, we'll be talking to some teams here shortly and we'll see sort of what happens from there.
And the Cardinals are one of those teams he's talking to, Brett?
Yes, yes. We're in talks, and, you know, like I said, I'm sorry, there's cars going right now.
Oh, you're good.
I'm walking in the bus.
Don't get hit.
Yeah, they are one of the teams.
Yeah, good, good. All right, well, safe travels, and we look forward to catching up with you on your next world travel. But for now, you're in Hungary teaching football. Thanks, Brett.
I appreciate it, brother. This is year two of our interviews during my world travel, so we'll see where I'm at year three.
You got it, pal. There's Brett Hundley via Skype from Budapest, Hungary, doing his thing. Sports360AZ.com, and we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Brett Hundley for joining us via Skype. So what is the difference between Brett Hundley in the offseason, traveling abroad when there's a neurovirus out there, and Madison Bumgarner in the offseason going out and competing in rodeos? I mean, really, what is the difference? Brett is out there. He is a world traveler. This is what he does. Madison in the off season. And I know what contracts say, and I know that teams frown on or stay away, and I'm still convinced to this day that when Mad Bum was out there doing the rodeo stuff, that Bruce Bochy knew and didn't care, because that's Boch. Boch just doesn't care. And as long as you're able to show up and do your thing, I mean, the neurovirus, Eric, would you travel right now? You like to travel. Are you, and I'm supposed to go to Florida in April. My wife brought it up to me.
For
She's
what?
Like, so I have a high school friend, my wife and I do, and we are all turning a certain age this year, double nickels, but I'm keeping that secret, and 33. And we are going to get together at her place. She sent a note and said, hey, let's get together, which is code for let's go get stupid, down on the Florida coast. And they have a nice place in near Fort Myers. And it sounds fine. I don't know about the alligators, crocodiles. I don't know.
I'll let you know if I approve your vacation request, but it sounds okay on the surface.
Do we have a calendar here to do that sort of thing?
We do. Yeah. You have not participated in the Sports 360 AZ vacation calendar, but that's to no one's surprise.
I have not. So. It's I got to go down the hall to HR.
You you leave that to the minions to take care of that little stuff.
Hey, what are we doing here?
Well, that sounds fun. I haven't been to Florida in a long time.
Would
if I go to a coast, I usually go to the West Coast.
Would you travel though right now with what's going on with neurovirus?
Sure, but I haven't been out of the country since 2001, so I don't.
You
when
and
I travel,
talked about you going out of the country though.
Possibly
this summer.
Possibly.
And we've talked about you going all the way over to Ireland for a football game.
That'd be fun.
But do we have to start looking at that a little closer and say, maybe not? Or are you going to come to me and say, I don't think we need to go?
Oh, I'd love to go.
So, but the neurovirus does nothing for you. It doesn't scare you or any of that.
Not really.
Yeah.
Because who knows? I mean, that's months and months and months away.
So. No, but we have to plan ahead.
We do.
We're really good at planning ahead here.
We do, but
we don't wait till the week before to do things.
But it's February. Much. The game is at the end of August.
Yeah,
we have there's a little bit of a runway there. So
we have a show that Eric and I are going to do next week that we want to invite you out to. It's going to be at Vi Luna in Chandler. It is going to feature the high school football coaches. We have a partnership with the Chandler Unified School District. So it's going to be the high school football head coaches from Hamilton and Chandler and Perry and Basha and Castile and Arizona College Prep. It's also going to feature the head coach at Mesquite High School, because I like that little story. It's big to them. It's a little story, and that is Mesquite winning a state title. I've asked each coach to bring a player next week. And so the player that they're going to bring, a lot of them are the new quarterback. One of those players will be Ty Thompson. Ty Thompson, if Jordan were here, Jordan would be losing his mind over how good Ty Thompson is, because Ty's already been offered by LSU and others. It's going to be more of an informational setting. And then we're also going to have Mark Tucker with us. Mark Tucker, for those of you that follow the college high school football scene, know that Mark Tucker played in the NFL for the Cincinnati Bengals. He played for the Arizona Rattlers. He's been a 20-year assistant coach at Hamilton, offensive line coach. He's also in Phoenix Fire Department. He is a firefighter. So not only is this guy giving up time from his schedule to coach football, but he's also doing a terrific service in our community. And he's been nominated and is he is this year's Frank Cush Award for the National Football Foundation for Coach of the Year. I think this is big for the NFF. It is not a head coach. It is an assistant coach. Assistant coaches need to be honored. So for Mark Tucker to get this prestigious award the first week of April, I wanted to have him come out next week. It's a week from today. It's at Via Luna in Chandler. Great restaurant, great partner of ours, great patio. Eric and Jordan are going to be doing some TV show side stuff. I'm going to be doing some interviews up on stage. We've done this one other time. We had like Brock Purdy's dad come down and talk about the recruiting process, which I think for any parent is valuable. Brock and Chubba Purdy's dad. We had some coaches from NAU that came by. And I think the more information that you can get, like I was talking to a dad this morning on the way up here about the value of 7-on-7s, and he is completely convinced that it is the most important thing. And his high school coach to his son is saying, no, you should not be doing 7-on-7s. His high school strength coach does not want him doing specialized training. Specialized training is now become a thing. If you're a parent between the ages of about 38 to 60, 65, specialized training is something you're going to have to consider for your kid if you want them to play at a high level. That you just are going to have to do it. And then if they're a football kid, them playing 7-on-7s in February and March, and I myself don't like 7-on-7s. I think they're a complete waste of time. I've had some people that have said to me, whose opinions I respect, that say, you're kind of missing the point. They're actually gaining some value because it's repetition. Well, no, it's also taking years off of bodies, time off of bodies. I'm hearing about kids that are skipping on sports in the spring because they're going out and they're playing on their 7-on-7 teams on the weekends and they're not running track, which has become a huge deal. The 40 time is as important as any. And it's really the idea that football is becoming year-round, much like it is in college, much like it is in the pros. This week alone, I saw Arizona State obviously get out there on the practice field for the first time, and I saw Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, open their spring football workouts day before yesterday. So Clemson's already at it. So the trend is get through your football season, get through your bowl game. Yeah, the month of January, you're going to decide if you're going to turn pro or not. You're going to work on some things, but we're going to get you right back out there, and we're going to roll this into spring football in late February, all the way through March, all the way through April. Then's the NFL draft. Then we're going to have sevens and an open recruiting period on the high school end. Then we're going to have mini camps for the NFL. And then we're going to have open recruiting season and big man camps and quarterback camps in June. We'll give you the week of 4th of July off. And then we'll get you going around July 10th off to your football camp with your respective high school. And then we're going to have SEC media days around July 15th and Big Ten media days around July 20th and Pac-12 media days. The date on that one's already set. It's July 29th. They don't know where they're going to hold it yet, but they're going to have it July 29th and we'll be there. Camp Tonizona, we'll go to Camp Tonizona. And then we'll get into games. We'll have a 0 week in high school. We'll have these worthless NFL preseason games. And then the calendar just goes all the way back around. So for kids, really there's about, 6 weeks, 8 weeks that you would look at and say, there's nothing football related that is out there and is being offered now. And is that really good for 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 year old? My opinion is no, it's not. And you can say all day long, well, these kids are going to stay out of trouble. That's on you. Football's not meant to have a coach to babysit them. And they've got to figure it out themselves too. You know, go put a golf club in their hands, go put a tennis racket in their hands, go put a swimsuit on them and have them jump in a pool and play water polo. Go have them do anything other than football all year round. But we have got a cottage industry of people that want money from parents. I'll train your kid. We'll have the 7-on-7 team and we'll call it the Thunder or the Galaxy or the most amazing things ever. And we'll have it where we're Team Pylon. If I get another note about how well Team Pylon did, I don't want to hear about Team Pylon. I don't care about Team Pylon in February or March. I don't. And in our industry, we're paying way too much attention to it. Is it a metric? Is it fine to go out there and just see? Sure, for a bit, but not every stinking week. This parent I was talking to this morning is like, I'm so stressed out. And his son is going to be just fine. His son is going to get recruited. There's no question about it. He'll play in college. It's already, that's happening. But man, well, we heard that this kid, when he went to Sevens, that that's where he got his first offer. Well, guess what? He was going to get a first offer anyways. So the pressure that you're feeling is unfounded. And this stuff I want to, you know, get into on stage, on my end of things. And, you know, Eric wants to talk. You want to talk to Ty Thompson, right? You want to meet Ty Thompson?
Sure. Yeah, I've never talked to him.
And that'll be next Thursday, and that's fine. But on my end, I'm going to talk to some of these kids, but I'm going to go full rant mode on some of these things that I just feel like, what are we doing here exactly? And if we just go along with hook and mouth and say, boy, this is the greatest thing ever, well, it's not for the kids.
I had something I wanted to run by you, not to change the subject, but
no,
you mentioned ASU football, and it got me thinking about something. I actually thought of it last night when I was in deep, not sleep, but I was just thinking about life in general. So
Wow, this is deep already. You've already done
the whole. No. So have we ever had a time at Arizona State where in the big three sports on the men's side, we had – a baseball prospect like Spencer Torkelson, who is the number one rated draft prospect for the 2020 class.
He's going to hit the ball a mile. Yep.
We have Remy Martin in basketball, who has a chance to be the Pac-12 Player of the Year.
Not an NBA guy, though.
No, but I mean, the last time an ASU player won the Pac, at that time, 10 Player of the Year, he was a pretty legendary figure at ASU, and he did okay in the pros. I don't think Remy Martin is going
James Bacon?
Yeah, exactly.
Ron
Riley? You got half of it right. You got the James part right.
Quincy Brewer?
And then we have Jaden Daniels, who probably will go down as the greatest quarterback in Arizona State history by the time he's done.
Wow. Wow, stop.
No, why?
What if he gets hurt? What if he gets a leg behind the ankle? Give him some time.
You realize he threw two interceptions in 340 pass attempts as a true freshman playing Pac-12 football. You realize that, right?
I realize that. Okay. Give him time. How much does he weigh again?
He weighs 181.
Okay.
What did he play at last year?
170.
And how many interceptions did he throw in 340 pass attempts?
Does it take one hit? And all of a sudden, the narrative changes.
The scale is not sliding down with Jaden Daniels. It's sliding up.
Like I told you yesterday when we were on the phone together, the backup quarterback to Jaden Daniels is a story because he is so slight. And, yeah, he stayed healthy last year. He turned around and handed the ball off, too. Right?
He missed one game due to injury.
So, but my point is, he's one hit away.
Any player is.
I know that.
But I'm just saying.
And he's only going to be a sophomore.
I'm just follow me along here.
Okay, I'll play with you. He's going to be better than Jake. He's going to be better than Danny White back in the day. He's going to be better than Andrew Walter. He's going to be better than all of them.
I'm just saying, for Arizona State Athletics, this is a pretty cool time.
Is he going to be better than Danny Sullivan?
Where you have three marquee. He's already better than Danny Sullivan.
Wow.
Three marquee. Okay, I'm just going to turn off my mic. You're not listening.
No, I'm listening. Three marquee players. I think it's a good. It's fine. When he shuts his mic off, he just gets mad. I think if you look at ASU basketball, Remy is fine. Pac-12 Player of the Year, potentially. Win me big games. But in basketball, it's March. Win me big games. And in football, it's not the Sun Bowl. Win me big games. In ASU baseball, it's make it to the tournament. All three of these players that Eric is talking about, or was talking about until he decided to bail out, it's fine. It is an interesting time for them. But when? I get so disappointed when these ASU people internally over there get mad at me because I point out, it's not me saying, hey, you have a zip between your eyes or a piece of lettuce in your teeth. It's just a fact. Do something football related rather than win six games and go to a bowl game and think that beating the U of A is the end all of end all. They're awful. I mean, they're just awful. So don't give me I get the grand scheme of things for the rivalry that this is the fan base of ASU is kind of like going out to the Phoenix Open. It's kind of like going to the Waste Management Open. Oh, yeah, there's a golf tournament going on. Hey, we're at the football game. Be special. Go to games, I don't know, Atlanta, New Orleans, Dallas, not El Paso, not Las Vegas. If Jaden Daniels is able to break that, like Jake Plummer is legendary because he went to Pasadena. Jeff Van Raphorst is legendary because he went to Pasadena and did well at Pasadena. Anybody who does well at El Paso is just That's just me. I know we're in this day and age with media consumption and people behind microphones and notepads of we got to get the most clicks possible. So everything's great. Everything's awesome. Everything's amazing. This is the most awesome and amazing thing going on here. And this guy is going to be the greatest, most awesome and amazing. Pay here and you'll be able to get access to a story where I'll tell you how awesome and amazing this guy is going to be. And they're going to win 6 freaking games. Or they're going to go 18-14. Or they're going to miss the NCAA tournament in baseball. You know, when Valencia got suspended for wrestling last week, that was a huge blow. That guy's number one in the country, to Eric's point, number one in the country in his sport, and gets popped last week. Drug use. Huge setback. I had an ASU wrestling booster, Big Cigar, call me literally crying on the phone. Literally crying. I can't believe what happened. Yeah, there's some good things going on over there with student athletes, but if you want to be legendary, win big. Don't just be mediocre. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. He's also the head of Sportive Speed. He has a big interview today that he's excited for. Next week is NASCAR week. Devin's going to be in his prime. I doubt we'll even see him. He comes in with a fire suit on. He's so geeked up. And of course, Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. Head over to our website. There's plenty of content there at sports360az.com. Have a great day.